Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, welcome to the Savage Nation. It's an amazing day because a couple of things have happened. We're going to talk about shifts in tectonic plates, both politically and, of course, geologically. The shift in tectonic plates beneath the island of Haiti has left hundreds of thousands without houses. God knows how many are dead. There's devastation all over the streets of Haiti after a powerful earthquake crushed thousands of structures. And, of course, this has led to some bizarre statements, including the most bizarre, coming from Pat Robertson, saying that the reason the Haitians were struck by the earthquake is because they made a pact with the devil to overthrow their French colonialists. So that's crazy. But talking about a tectonic shift in the political plates, the Daily Telegraph of London has again compiled a list of the top liberals and the top conservatives in America. And I'm pleased to tell you that the paper moved Savage up 16 spots this year to number 47. Now, you say, well, that's pretty good, but what does it really mean? It's interesting to me because Michael Savage moving up 16 spots on the Telegraph list needs to be seen in context. Savage beat out Lou Dobbs at number 79, Ann Coulter at 74, Chris Ruddy at 64, and Bill O'Reilly, poor dear, at number 85. With 10 million listeners, they say the Berkeley PhD is the third most listened to conservative talk show host in the U.S. and has written more than 25 books, including Banned in Britain, Beating the Liberal Blacklist, available only on michaelsavage.com. Incidentally, we just got our second printing in this week. Savage shot to attention in Britain last year when Jackie Smith, then Home Secretary, included Savage's name in a list of 16 people who would be barred from entering merry old England on the grounds that they were considered to be engaging in unacceptable behavior. Now, ladies and gentlemen, would you believe that speech has now become behavior to the radical left? But if you think that speech as behavior is limited to England, you're mistaken. It's also a considered behavior in North Korea, in Syria, and Iran. And so your good friends in England are no longer practicing the liberalism that you may think, but they're practicing a sort of soft despotism. And to link Michael Savage up with skinheads who are killing people in Russia, to put me in league with Hamas murderers who killed the little Jewish children in front of their parents by smashing in their head with a rifle, I say, what does that say about the government of England? It says more about them than it says about me, he told Smith. So there you are, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, I beat O'Reilly and all of the other wonderful people on the right side of things. And I don't know how they come to these things, but they're absolutely right. I really should be, I would say, in the top three rather than the number they gave me. But all right, what does it matter? There's a couple of other stories. Not to me, the biggest story is what Pat Robertson said. It's one thing to say that Haiti was devastated by a quake. That we understand is due to the, you know, shifts in the tectonic plates beneath the nation. But for Pat Robertson to go off and say that the reason the Haitians were picked on is because they swore a pact with the devil is frightening. And if you want to know why Christians, particularly born-again Christians, are feared, reviled by the liberal left, why people on the left will still stick with Obama even though he's such a horrible leader, why they're afraid to move over to the conservative right, you don't have to go any further than Pat Robertson, who says they've been cursed because they swore a pact with the devil. In fact, listen right now on the Savage Nation.
Something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people may not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French. You know, Napoleon the Third and whatever. And they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. It's a true story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. And they kicked the French out. You know, the Haitians revolted and got themselves free. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other.
That's it?
That island of Hispaniola is one island. Mm-hmm. It's cut down the middle. On the one side is Haiti. On the other side is the Dominican Republic. Yeah. Dominican Republic is prosperous, healthy, full of resorts, etc. Haiti is in desperate poverty. Same islands.
Sure.
They need to have, and we need to pray for them, a great turning to God.
I don't know who recorded this, but something's wrong here. All right, so he comes up with the religious interpretation, which is not religious at all. It's crackpot. The first thing that he made a mistake in is that the Haitians got their independence during Napoleon the First reign, 60 years before Napoleon the Third. So he was wrong about that. And to say that Pat Robinson says that a natural disaster is due to the fact that they made a pact with the devil is sickening. It frankly is sort of racist. It's ignorant of the lowest order, and it brings shame upon the Christian community. But now let's go to his next statement, that if you divide the island and you look at the Dominican Republic and they're doing great, well, he's wrong about that as well. I mean, comparatively, they're doing a little better. But the Dominican Republic is not doing great. It's just by comparison to Haiti. The fact of the matter is that Haiti's poverty, in my opinion, is not due to its pact with the devil, but it's due to its left-wing policies, its refusal to produce scientists and engineers who can save the soil rather than rape the soil. The devil is irrelevant to Haiti's poverty. So if you'd like to interpret this for me, if you'd like to comment on what Pat Robertson said or on the fact that I've been moved up 16 points on the most influential conservative list, you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. Ralph in New York, go ahead, please. You're first up on the Savage Nation from WOR.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. This is outright bigotry on the part of Pat Robertson. You know, this man has a history of making offhand comments. I remember during the time when the leader in Israel, was it Yitzhak?
Rabin was assassinated. What, did he blame the Israelis for it?
No, he mentioned something like because the stay away from God or something to that effect.
Are you yourself Haitian?
No, I'm not, sir. I'm an Asian American.
Don't you find what Pat Robertson said not only stupid but offensive?
Bigotry. There is a bigotry factor involved in that as well.
How ignorant can you get? So what about the people of Thailand in 2004? Did they make a pact with the devil too? What about all the Jews who were killed, the 6 million Jews who were killed in the Holocaust? Is that because they made a pact with the devil? What is this guy, nuts? You know, I hate to bring up my brother's name, but God bless my brother who died a long time ago, Jerome. He was born handicapped. Was he born that way because he committed a sin in birth? I mean, what's wrong with this man? This kind of throwback mentality is what gives the evangelical movement a terrible, terrible reputation. And I'm afraid what drives otherwise decent-thinking people into the hands of charlatans like Obama. That's the whole reason that I'm bringing this up. I don't want anyone listening to this show to think in any way that a man of science such as myself would agree with this nut. 1-800-449-8255. Let's again talk about that. The Haiti situation, a pact with the devil, the whole country, every child. This is frightening. This is really, really frightening. Now, it is true that the French were ousted by the slaves, and it was one of the only successful slave revolts in history. However, after they threw the French out, owing to very poor leadership and corruption, they denuded their land of topsoil. In fact, to this day, one of the chief forms of energy in Haiti is firewood. So we have a real problem here. And I think that people ought to help the Haitian people instead of attacking them in their time of need. A pact with the devil. Can you believe this? 1-800-449-8255. God's wrath had nothing to do with this. This is strictly due to tectonic plates. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people may not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, you know, Napoleon the Third and whatever.
Whatever.
And they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. It's a true story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. They kicked the French out. You know, the Haitians revolted and got themselves free. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other. That island of Hispaniola is one island.
All right, let's stop right there. I'm embarrassed to play this. So this lunatic, Pat Robertson, believes that every time people die in a natural disaster, it's their own fault. So what about when a Christian school bus falls off a road and the kids die? Is that because somebody cast their seat upon the ground and no one knew about it? One of the boys perhaps went into a restroom and cast a seat upon the ground and therefore the bus went off the cliff? What about Hurricane Andrew, Katrina, the 04 Indonesian tsunami? What about volcanoes, tornadoes, which tear through the Bible Belt all the time? And entire towns are wiped out, Mr. Robertson. And so, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, this is really worth talking about. It's frightening to listen to this. And I have to play it. Barbara, Palm Beach, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I think what we're not grasping here and what Pat Robertson was trying to explain, which he said like 15 years ago, and as a Catholic, I have to say, and I have known many wonderful Haitians who are, Haitians are predominantly Catholic, but unfortunately, I have locked horns with them for the past 15, 20 years when I know and we that too many of them practice voodoo, devil worshiping. And this is a
I understand voodoo is alien to Christians and Jews and Muslims, but I would say that bigotry is alien to Christians, Jews, and Muslims as well, if you actually practice the religion. To me, this is outright bigotry as far as I'm concerned. It's accusing these people of being deserving of what happened to them.
Well, I'm not God. I can't judge it, but he does.
Well, he's judging them. But Pat Robertson is casting judgment. He's saying he speaks for God, and God did this to the Haitians because they practice voodoo.
Doesn't every rabbi and religious person speak for God? What I'm trying to say is that there's a consequence to our behavior.
Wait a minute. All of the nuns and all of the Catholic fathers who tried to rescue anti-Nazis who were then tortured and killed during World War II, they were cursed by God as well because they were trying to rescue innocent people?
Evil.
No, you didn't hear me. Let's go back to World War II, where Hitler, the epitome of evil, killed millions of people, Jews and others. And what about all the Catholic priests who died and the nuns who died saving innocent people? Were they rightly killed because they did something wrong?
Michael, evil is a mystery. We don't...
Well, you're not answering the question, though. You're going over it. I think we have to be very, very cautious when we start saying God did this to Haiti because they practice voodoo. You know, again, what about Hurricane Katrina? Everyone in New Orleans is a voodoo worshiper?
May I also address the fact that my person...
But you're not answering any questions because it would require you engaging the logical facility in your brain, madam.
First,
what about the Katrina hurricane, Andrew, the 04 Indonesian tsunami? What about volcanoes and tornadoes which tear through the Bible Belt? Are those God's will as well?
God allowed it. If it wasn't his
will. Well, God allowed it? So what? So he did it to punish the people? So you say when a Christian school bus falls off a cliff, they deserved it, all the kids who die?
When Hemingway practiced voodoo, he had a gun in his mouth. There's consequence to our choices. You stay away from the devil.
All right. See, this is the problem. You know, I saw a great movie over the weekend called There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis. I was shocked at how good his acting was. I was stunned. But when it's set in the 1890, 1900 era in early California oil fields, it shows like a simple country town of very, very, very simple people being hoodwinked by a preacher who's doing it strictly to hoodwink him. He, you know, tells him he's going to cast the devil out. And you could see how excited and emotional the people get. I said, my goodness. My goodness, look how far we've not come. And then you go on to a guy like Obama, who really is the same kind of snake oil salesman on the left. You know, he reminds me in many ways, not in his acts, don't get me wrong, don't take this the wrong way, but I say things in order to get your attention. To me, smooth liberals are like Ted Bundy. In other words, they're very good-looking, many of them, they're very charming, and they sway people by seducing them. And then after they're seduced, it's a metaphor that you have to understand is real. Obama seduced them at every level. He's raping away our freedom. He's raping away our tax base. He's raping away our national dignity. How far does... Now you say, well, wait a minute. How do you jump from Pat Robertson to Obama? Because to me, a snake oil salesman is a snake oil salesman. So now that I got your attention on Pat Robertson, I'll swing it back to Obama, who was very much the same in another way, though. You get it? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Many, 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 many topics to talk about. I'm glad none of you are talking about the fact that Michael Savage beat O'Reilly, Ann Coulter, and Lou Dobbs on the, the list of the top 100 most influential conservatives. I'm glad that went right over your head. You're not going to hear about this on Fox News. Would you play it if you were? Look, O'Reilly rules Fox News with an iron corned beef. You know that. Everybody knows that. Whatever he says goes. You know, they're afraid of him. He's a tall guy, and they're terrified of him. He rules it with an iron corned beef. There's no, or an iron cabbage, whatever. And he steps out of line, gets hit with an iron cabbage. Oh, my God. There's a lot to talk about other than this, but this makes all evangelicals sound crazy. And this is why I'm bringing it up, because all evangelicals are not crazy. They all don't follow Pat Robertson either. Now, this is not the first time I've tangled with the establishment religious figures. There's a very famous interview I did with a now-deceased famous man who I really admired until he came on the air and said, only Christians go to heaven. Let's get that soundbite for the listeners.
Savage.
Is 34 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. And we're talking about a number of topics. I haven't gotten into what I really wanted to talk about, which was the enemy within, which is former Deputy Director of California Homeland Security, Errol Southers, who we played yesterday. This is a man that Obama would like to run the TSA. This is a man who thinks that Christians are more of a threat to America than Islamic extremists, or let us say, Hispanic gangs that are roaming America. This is a man who thinks that global warming is as important as terrorism. This is a man who, now we found a new soundbite somebody got, that says that the reason the U.S. is a target of terrorism is because of our friendship with France and Israel. So, my friends, this is also worthy of conversation. But I'd rather stick to Pat Robertson saying that the Haitians were hit by an earthquake because they made a famous pact with the devil in exchange for victory over the French. Now, to be fair, Robertson then went on and called for prayer for them, and his humanitarian arm has been working to help people in Haiti over the last year. His humanitarian arm is currently launching a relief and recovery effort to help the victims of the earthquake, and his group has sent a shipment of millions of dollars worth of medications that is now in Haiti. And his own disaster team leaders are expected to arrive tomorrow and begin operations to ease the suffering. So, you know, let's not go overboard here and say he himself is evil. He misspoke. Nevertheless, it's worthy of discussion because misspeaking can be very, very deadly, as you well know in my case. It can cost you an awful lot. And in politics or in the media, one word can cost you your career or your career, period. It's unfortunate that's the world we live in. We walk a tightrope. Well, he just fell off the tightrope. And frankly, you know, there are statements and then there are other statements. I don't like the idea of God's wrath being responsible for illness or for tragedy for one major reason. When I look in the eyes of a child with leukemia, when I see wards of children without hair, when I see little babies suffering the deformities of birth, if someone would say to me they're suffering because of sins they did, I'd like to break their neck and throw them out of the hospital window. because I'm very protective of innocent people. I'm very protective of the poor and the helpless of this earth, including animals, as you know. And I don't want to see this kind of garbage promulgated. I'm only one man, but you know, one man can make a big difference, both positive and negative. Look what Bill Clinton did to the morals of America by saying that oral sex was not sex. Look what he did to the minds of so many young girls. So you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If I rip liberals every day, then to me, as a party of one, I have an obligation to, frankly, jump on the back of anyone who says a thing like this. He's just plain wrong. He shouldn't have said that. He shouldn't have said that because, again, let's say you're a fanatic yourself, or you're just simply a devout Christian who believes that the God punishes people who are bad. All right, I understand that. Many of us still harbor those beliefs, and I myself believe that to a certain extent. But how in the world do you then make up for volcanoes that strike an entire community who are not devil worshippers? How do you justify a statement like that when natural disasters often sweep through the Midwest, knocking out entire Christian towns, sweeping away churches? You're going to say that the entire congregation got it because one of the congregants cast a seed upon the ground, which is prohibited in the Bible? I mean, come on, wake up. You know, kind of apply some current logic to your belief system. You can't walk around in that kind of level of superstition in this world and survive, because at some point it's going to come back to haunt you, whether it be a something that happens to you or to one of your children. What are you going to do, blame yourself for it? You can't live in that world. Now, that doesn't mean you have to become an atheist, nor do you have to become amoral or an unbeliever. And this is the problem for most people. It's very difficult to stop believing in black and white. It's very difficult for people to start believing to have logic and science in their brain and have faith in God, because it's not easy to do. I struggle with it all the time. But at the end of the day, you have to struggle with it. You can't resort to black magic yourself called bigotry. That's my opinion. Now, many of you disagree with me. Some of you even support Robertson, and I'm going to give you your forum. Bob in Indiana, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike. I enjoy your show. What I wanted to say was I don't know if what he said is true about there being a pact made at some point in the past. But just taking it what he said, he was not attacking the Haitian people today, or he was not attacking their current lifestyle of today. What he was saying was that the biblical principle that he was saying was the sins of the fathers have visited their children. That is a
so, in other words, principle. He was justifying the pain and suffering.
Well, he wasn't justifying it. As a matter of fact, if you listen...
But if you were to apply that equally, how do you justify, how do you explain, rather, a bus full of church-going children going off a cliff and all of them dying? How would you justify that?
Well, there's another biblical principle, and that is the rain and the sun shines and rains on the just and on the unjust. Another way of putting it in common vernacular is stuff happens. There's no clear, easy explanation for why...
All right, so now you're starting to have my approach, which is stop trying to second-guess God, but certainly don't blame the Haitian people for what happened to them. I mean, haven't we learned about tectonic plate movements underneath the ocean?
Well,
all right, let's leave it at that. We don't have to now dwell on it. Chicago, Raj, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Michael, excellent analogy between Pat and Obama. They both are activists. One is an activist in political arena. Another one is an activist in theological arena. Both of them are dead wrong. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad
people. That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, I had to deal with this all my life because of tragedies within my own family. I never could understand it, but my mother, God rest her soul, cried to me over and over again. When I was a little boy, and I would say to her, Mom, what can I do to make you happy? And of course, she told me what she wanted God to do to, you know, with regard to our family. And, you know, a little boy doesn't know how to deal with that. So I tried my whole life to understand what it all meant. Why would one child be born healthy and another one be born unhealthy? Why is a child born with a hare lip? You know, that kind of thing. Eventually, I stumbled on a book called Peace of Mind, which was written by a rabbi. I don't even know his name anymore. And he said that if he were to believe God was omnipotent, he would give up religion immediately. The thing he believes is that God is omnipresent but not omnipotent. That's a very powerful statement, Raj, and I believe that myself. I believe God is everywhere, but he's not omnipotent. He doesn't control every event for every person and every leaf on the planet in every moment.
Mike, I'm a very strong believer, and if you look at in the book of Job, he was a righteous man. Bad thing happened to him. It doesn't mean, these guys are hijacked the theology to an extent.
Well, there you go. He's basically hijacked the Christian theology the way the Taliban have.
Right. 100%.
And the way Obama has hijacked the Democrat Party is really the analogy I was making. They're both snake oil salesmen, in my opinion. Now, years ago, I think it was 2003, I'm reminded, I had an interview with Jerry Falwell, who I admired very, very much. Always liked Reverend Falwell. Thought he did great work. And he came on this show, and we had a long interview, which we have for you. I'm not going to play it right now. Maybe next hour, actually. It's a classic if you've never heard it. It is worth putting aside what you have planned for the next hour to listen to this. Because in this interview with Jerry Falwell, we came to a difference and was never repaired. He said that only Christians can go to heaven. I took offense at that. How do you explain every other person on the planet? You mean even if they're good, they don't go to heaven? I couldn't accept that. And I have my own belief system, by the way. Now, you tell me what religion I belong to. In fact, I'm going to tell you what I believe in. I've toyed with many times creating my own, I don't want to say religion because that would be wrong, my own house of worship. But here is what I believe in. Me, Michael Savage, talk show host, author, broadcaster, scientist. Here's what I believe in, my own personal belief. I believe that God is at the center of a hub. I call it the healing wheel. And I'm quoted on this. I would even call it whatever. God is at the hub of a wheel. And each of the world's major religions are a spoke of that wheel. Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism. You put in your own spoke if you want, but each of those spokes lead back to the center of the wheel, the hub, the healing wheel. And as it spins and as it turns, the world turns. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. London paper ranks Savage among top conservative, moves up 16 slots. Topic number two, earthquake in Haiti said to be the result of the Haitians pact with the devil, according to Pat Robertson. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go back to the East Coast, WOR in New York. Go ahead, Al.
Hi, Michael. This is Al from Butler, New Jersey. Michael, I'm very distressed over what he said because, people can pick up on stuff like this and start making comments. Well, the reason Hitler killed the Jews was because they killed Jesus. I mean, you can go as
well. Well, that's right. But that's what I said before. But how do you explain the millions of Christians that Hitler killed who stood up to him? In other words, what were they killed? Because they did something wrong? And more specifically, the answer to this bigotry and stupidity, Al, is this. How do you explain a bus full of Christian children goes off a road? Is it because a kid cast a seat upon the ground in a rest stop?
Well, Mike, when I hear things like this that happen, it almost brings me to tears because I don't like to see other people suffer. And I feel the same way
Who does? The thing to say here is pity the Haitian people, let's send them some money. If that's what you want to do if you're a Christian. That would be a church-like response, I think. Not that they got it because they worship the devil.
Mike, that's horrible what he said. It's
all right. Well, I'm playing it because it is horrible. If I sit here every day and I attack the foibles and lies of the Democrats, don't I have an obligation to do the same with regard to the other side?
Absolutely.
Mike, all right, so that's my job. That's why I'm loved so much by both parties. That's why I'm invited to the White House and to conservative convocations, as you well understand. Las Vegas. I love Las Vegas. I was thinking about going there. I don't know what I do there. I go to Las Vegas, and it's strange, I don't even gamble. I have a place in Vegas. I never go to it. A small little condo I've had for years. I like it. There's something exciting about the town. I go to auto collections. I'm like innocent in that regard. How in the heck do you take a child to Las Vegas when they're passing out pictures of hookers in the street? I don't understand. flyers with pictures of naked women. I don't get it. I wouldn't take a child there. But all right, to each his own. What are you going to say, Las Vegas is about to be hit with an earthquake because it's Sin City? If sin were responsible for natural disasters, I don't think there'd be a city left on the earth. If sin were responsible for bad things that happened to places, there wouldn't be a building standing on earth. But, you know, this is serious stuff, this God, the devil business. Oh, my goodness. You would think that in the year 2010, we wouldn't be hearing that much anymore about the devil, because this is what the Taliban says. The Taliban says the West is evil because of this and that, therefore we can kill you. You're all soldiers of the devil. It's the same rhetoric. Don't you understand? James in Las Vegas, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, thank you very much. I wanted to say that the comment that Mr. Roberts has made is a comment of a fool. And the Bible says itself that a fool speaketh his mouth. Well, it proved today that a fool has spoken his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, being a Christian as I am, I find Mr. Robinson to be one of those people-pleasing TV evangelists who pretty much says what he needs to do to create his own platform. And some of the most foolish things I have ever heard has come out of the mouths of preachers, to tell you the truth. I love
right, and it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop you from being a Christian and a God-fearing man, does it?
No, sir, and I think Mr. Robinson should read the very Bible he preaches out of.
Do you think I'm wrong for pointing this out today? I think I'm very right for doing it, because this is the kind of rhetoric that's going to get Christians even marginalize the evangelical movement even more.
Exactly. It makes no sense why the man would even think of that. He should be taking some of the money he makes off of his TV and going over to Haiti and helping these people out.
Apparently, to his credit, he is doing that. And I think he made a very, very bad error today. He's an elderly man, and frankly, I think he's starting to blow it.
Yeah.
We got to have a little compassion for him. But, you know, I feel obligated, because I don't want to hear this kind of stuff. Because when bad things happen to people, you can't blame them for it. You can't blame people for terrible things that happen to them and their children. What do you do with a nice couple who's been decent all their life and they give birth to a deformed child? They did it because something they did wrong? Or the child should suffer like that? I mean, I'm sorry. I can't go down that road with that kind of fundamentalist mentality. New York City, Dan, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to Pat Robertson, the statements he made, and it reminded me of I've heard the same thing about the Dominican Republic doing so much better on the other side of the island than Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that other places, and I was wondering, is there a fence? Is there some sort of border control? Because this situation sounds pretty similar to us in Mexico.
Well, there is. There's a government of Haiti that's totally corrupt. There are land policies that are totally bankrupt. They still use their trees for firewood. Almost all the topsoil has been washed into the sea because of backwards agricultural policies, which are not practiced in the Dominican Republic. And so I would count more stupidity and bad land management and corruption than the devil's work, if you know what I mean.
Now,
that's how I see it. I'm unfortunately for people, I can see things. Look, Robinson's wrong. I think we've agreed on that. If you want to comment on it, it's fine. We're going to move on very shortly to another snake oil salesman named Obama, who wants to take Errol Southers and make him the head of the TSA. Here's a man who said climate change is more important than terrorism. Here is a man who says that our relationship with France and Israel are the reason that we have terrorism. In fact, listen to clip one. Listen
it
to this.
It should be high on our list of priorities because of, speaking globally, the threat that exists. Due to connectivity that we have with countries such as Israel, France, countries that are seen by groups by Al-Qaeda as being infidels or anti-Islamic, by the true nature of our alliance with them means that we are subject to being attacked as well.
This guy is really stupid, and he's a former FBI agent, no less. This is a man who also said that climate change trumps terrorism. Is he qualified to be the head of the TSA? What is wrong with you, Democrats? Must you stand by Obama no matter what he does? I mean, I can understand you voted for him, but I told you for 3-4 months now that there's greater voter remorse with this president than any in history. And I'm right. I'm always right on a global level and on a macro level. Always. I rarely have been wrong. I've been right 100% of the time globally. 100% of the time nationally I've been right. I've never been wrong. I make mistakes here and there, but I admit them. But I tell you that I now see new polls which saying that more and more independents they voted for him. They were hoodwinked. The guy is seen for what he is. Not an empty suit, but a very dangerous radical left-wing activist. He ran as though he were a centrist, but he's trying to enact a very far-left agenda. And so, therefore, you have to wake up to the fact that the people he puts in place could be very harmful to children and other living things. He put Janet Napolitano in Homeland Security. We've had two strikes already, at least, under her. Now, you say, it's not her fault. Well, then what's the point of the Department of Homeland Security? They're supposed to stop these things from happening. You say, well, you can't stop all of them. I would agree with you. But you certainly can stop a man who gets on an airplane with a one-way ticket and no luggage and without a passport, whose father said he's gone over to the other side. If you had a Department of Homeland Security that was operational, the man never would have been let on an airplane. She should have lost a job over that. That would have been a rational governmental decision. But no, now he wants to add insult to injury. And he wants to give us a man who says things like this: climate change trumps terrorism. Our friendship with Israel and France are the reasons for terrorism. You got to understand the danger we are in, because some of the damage that has been done and will be done by Barack Hussein Obama can never be undone. All the king's horses and all the king's men might not be able to put America together again. This is the Savage Nation. We'll talk about Robertson and Father Obama when I come back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Teaching fighting skills could honor the Lord?
Donovan, I cannot answer that question because I don't know what God's saying to you or what he has involved for you. I don't think you're going to be teaching people to kill with swords and that sort of thing. You just it's kind of like boxing or wrestling. I don't see anything wrong with being a wrestling coach or a boxing coach. But if you get into that business where those who are involved in martial arts before they start are actually inhaling some demon spirit, and some of them do that, by the way, that all enormous strength comes about not from a human source, but from a demonic source. You don't want to have anything to do with any of that. So I'll leave it to you.
You know, I'd like to be able to buy some of that devil dust. Does anyone know where it's sold? Does anyone know where I could buy some of that devil dust? If I could become a great martial artist, I would. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We're talking about Pat Robertson saying that the Haitians got what they deserved because they worshiped the devil, because they're voodoo practitioners. While the other side of Hispaniola, the Dominican Republic, lives in bliss and harmony because they don't worship the devil. Now, it's a very important topic, and that's why we're talking about it, because if I'm going to point out charlatans every day on the left, and I am a party of one, an independent, which is why you never see me on Fox News or any other television show, then I think I have an obligation to sit here. I don't mean to be coy, but when a nutcase like this appears, you got to understand why people are afraid of evangelicals, why they laugh at Christians, why they think that Christians are backwards, and why they get away with it. It's because of men like him. I'm sorry. This is how I see it. We're also talking about Reverend Barack Obama, who has sold the congregants called the Democrats a bill of goods that was false. And he appoints incompetents and left-wingers to so many positions, I don't know if we can ever survive. And here we have a situation where he appoints a totally unqualified woman to be Department of Homeland Security, and we have two strikes against our national security. Now he wants to make the third strike in appointing a man who's a friend of Schwarzenegger, formerly Deputy Director of California Homeland Security, Errol Suthers, who left the border with Mexico wide open. And now he wants to be rewarded by leaving the America open to terrorism, who says things that are astonishing. He says Christians yesterday, we played it, are more of a threat to America than Muslim extremists. This guy that Obama wants to appoint believes that global warming is as important as terrorism. And we can't let that go either. We're also talking about the Daily Telegraph of London, which lists the top 100 liberals and the top 100 conservatives in America. And this year moved me up 16 spots to number 47. You say that's not so great, but unto itself maybe it's not so great. But when you consider that I don't have a TV show and that I beat O'Reilly and that I beat, according to this list, the bartender Lou Dobbs and Ann Coulter and others, I mean, I think it's a pretty big jump. And you can read all about it on michaelsavage.com. I mean, she said I'd be proud of it. I don't know. It's just a piece of paper. What does it mean? But I think we need to focus now on the disaster in Haiti and this kind of nonsense that it's caused by people's behavior. Let's listen to Pat Robertson.
Something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people may not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French. You know, Napoleon III and whatever. And they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. It's a true story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. And they kicked the French out. You know, the Haitians revolted and got themselves free. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other. That island of Hispaniola is one island. It's cut down the middle. On the one side is Haiti. On the other side is the Dominican Republic. Dominican Republic is prosperous, healthy, full of resorts, etc. Haiti is in desperate poverty. Same islands. They need to have, and we need to pray for them, a great turning to God.
Well, the next time a bus full of Christian schoolchildren goes off a cliff, I'd like to see what the Reverend, for whatever his name is, has to say. Maybe it's because one of the boys stopped at a rest stop, as I say, and cast a seat upon the ground. I don't know what could. How do you explain that a tornado goes through the Bible Belt and knocks out an entire church, killing babies, innocent babies? How do you explain a child born with a hair lip? How do you explain a child getting cancer and suffering so violently till the mother's heart is ripped out of her chest? You explain it because they did something wrong? So be very, very careful of this kind of rhetoric because it leads to disastrous results. Disastrous results. And personally, I don't believe an ounce of it is true. That's my opinion. And I think it does a terrible, I think it does, very bad damage to the evangelical movement, which is by and large a great group of people, wonderful people, kind people, humanitarian people. But when you start bordering now into this, that the devil punished the Haitians, oh my goodness. And it gives the mad dog libs fodder. And so, therefore, I have to head them off at the pass and say this guy made a big mistake. That's all. So we can move on. Tampa, Martin, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Savage. You want some devil dance? Well, it's right up there on Pennsylvania Avenue. They sell it every day.
You mean if I walk down K Street, I'll breathe in devil dust?
Just breathe it in. There you are.
There you are. Well, if I go into the halls of Congress, you mean all I got to do is take a deep breath and I'll get the devil dust?
No, you have to go into the private chambers where they're discussing our health care, because otherwise you'd breathe in some Republicans.
Good fun. I did once get invited to I had lunch in the congressional dining room. It was great. I loved it. Very good food. And I don't know whether there was any devil dust in it. And that's when we still had one Republican left in Congress here in California. Imagine a state of this size and everyone's a Democrat. Gee, I wonder how that happens. Is it because the people are all radical leftists or because illegal aliens vote and they rig the machines, Diane and Barbara? What do you think? How could a state this big? I could see there being some liberal Democrats, but all? How is it possible? rigged elections with illegal aliens. That's all. Binghamton, New York. Reverend George, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I'm writing a book. It's called The Destructive Force of Religion. And I think that what we saw with Pat Robertson's comment is that, as you said before, words are very important, as you know, in your program. And to take a word, he spoke outside of the biblical realm. And I think when evangelicals do that, they get themselves in trouble. We're not living in the age of judgment. In fact, Jesus himself said, I came not into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. And the ones that crucified Jesus and the ones that he was against was the religious establishment. But the prostitute
yes.
that was thrown in front of him, he had mercy
yes.
on. And
yes.
God is a God of mercy. He's a God of love. And
Right. The Sanhedrin composed of, 12 rabbis who were under the yoke of Rome? I think it was 12. People forget that I think 5 of the rabbis said, do not condemn Jesus.
That's right. And he was always confronted by the religious establishment. He heals a man in the church, they condemn him. He forgives a woman who was caught in adultery, they thought he was crazy. And all because of religion. Religion only, I don't know if you know it, but the word religion only appears in the Bible 5 times, and it's never an exhortation to be religious. God wants a relationship with people. He sent Jesus Christ, his only son, and that's the good news, because he sent his son to save the world, to give us joy, peace, righteousness.
But you don't believe that only Christians go to heaven, do you?
I believe that anyone who, the ones that go to heaven and have eternal life are the ones that put their trust in what God says.
And all right, let's leave it at that, because God is God, and I don't think we need an intermediary. That's my personal belief. And I know many people get mad at me every time I make this point, but I'm going to actually play for you an interview done in 03 with Jerry Falwell. It's worth hearing because it's an historic document that, you know, long after I'm no longer on the radio, will live. It'll live on YouTube. It'll live in my archives. And you'll see where I stand. I alienate people just by speaking. There's nothing I can do about it. Sometimes I have to, you know, say it like it is, and sometimes it costs me greatly. Las Vegas, Rex, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Savage Colin, I'd like to say that I love your point, and I love how you have the ability to step back and analyze something.
Well, any thinking man knows that Pat Robertson made a mistake. It doesn't mean he himself is an idiot or a bad guy, but boy, did he make a mistake. I've made mistakes, but you got to get up and say, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, it came out wrong, this is not what I meant. You know, he can backtrack, he can make a mistake, you know, anyone can make a mistake, Rex.
Yes, they can. I also like to say that I don't think the devil had nothing to do with that. I think that it's like you said, the fault lines, they're changing.
Hello, the tectonic plates moved. I was in California during the Loma Prieta earthquake, so we should believe that the man who got trapped in his car on the highway that broke, he had done something wrong that day? Is that why the whole earthquake happened?
Like I said.
Yeah, I mean, his car hung over the roadway, and he died because he cast his seat upon the floor. I keep using that analogy. Onan, you know what onanism is? It's a long-lost word, onanism. Most people don't know what it is, O-N-A-N. Onan. Onan. I don't mean O-W-N. I'm not talking about capitalism. I'm talking about Onanism, not Own-inism. And anyone who Onanizes or is an Onanist, the whole village got wiped out, by the way. You know, it actually goes back to that, guys, that the Bible says that Onan, I believe he cast a seat upon the floor and his entire village was wiped out, right? It does say that, the Bible says that, in the Old Testament. Wow, man. All for that? For personal, for one little act like that? There's not worse things on the planet than a man relieving himself? God. Self-abuse? I don't know about that. But I do know this. I know that this is an important show and words are important. And that meanings are important. And if one makes a mistake in the word business, which we all do, by the way, you have to really immediately get out in front of it and say, look, I didn't mean to, insult the Haitian people. And I think he should point out the kind of aid that his group is sending and what he's done for them, and et cetera. That's all. I'll be right back.
Savage.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson.
It is the Savage Nation. The reason I'm playing Mrs. Robinson, whoa, 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 it's because I can. No, it's because there's an actual Mrs. Robinson in Ireland, about 50 years old, who's a cougar, who had a relationship, a sex affair with a 19-year-old boy, who then she steered government money towards, and her husband just had to step down as prime minister. So, I mean, you could say that there's retribution for behavior, I guess. But when it comes to a national disaster like this, all the people were bad. Even the babies, the Haitian babies, were bad, and they deserved it. This is the same guy, Robertson, who said that Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's stroke was divine retribution for withdrawing from the Gaza Strip. Good God. You know, he really needs to make some amends here to the Haitian people, and he should do it fast. How old is this poor guy? He's done good work over the years, but, you know, there's only so much malarkey you can throw till some of it comes back and hits you in the face. Much of Port-au-Prince destroyed, bodies piled in streets. I guess all of them were evil. They all made a pact with the devil. I guess everybody in Haiti deserved to die who died. The babies, the infants, sick, the hospital workers, the nuns. I guess even the devout Christians working in the hospitals deserve to die because they somehow were doing devil worship on the side. You know, next time a school bus goes off a cliff, it's because one of the boys touched himself at night. Whoa. Dexter Starr being treated for cancer. SF man found dead in his room, was strangled. Pat Robertson says Haiti cursed by pact with devil. What else is in the news? A lot in the news. Savage beats O'Reilly on list of most influential conservatives, according to the English. But what do they know? What do they know? What do they know? I'm feeling good. Something must be wrong. Whenever I start to feel as good as something's wrong, I don't know what it is. I've had it so far. You know, knock wood, 2010, my mood's improved since I was away almost a month in Florida. I didn't even do anything there. Maybe getting away from the sick, polluted San Francisco, the mental disgust. You know, I swear to God. You know, Florida, it's funny. There are a lot of liberals in South Florida, a lot of gay people. But you don't hear every day the same thing over and over again. There's no screaming about oppression. There's no Obama bumper stickers. I don't understand it. You come back to this backwood area here, this backwoods. You know, San Francisco is fundamentally perhaps the most. In so many ways, I love the city, don't get me wrong. And no one's driving me out of the city. In fact, I have a big announcement coming up very soon. I'm coming back stronger than ever into San Francisco on the radio. People don't know this, but I'll wait for that. It'll be a little while yet till it happens. I love this city, but I'm not going to be driven out by these devil worshippers here. But I got to tell you, they are the most provincial devil worshippers in the world. Because everywhere you go, they got to tell you how great they are, how smart they are. They got to have Obama bumper stickers a year after the election to show you that they're good members in good standing of the party. You know, it's sickening. It's childish. It's adolescent. With their bicycles on Friday night, they got to block traffic. Oh, great. And I ride a bicycle. If I were the mayor, I'd sweep them off the street. I'd round them all up. I'd throw their bicycles in the bay and give them 30 days of hard time. I'd make them go into a jail and clean toilets. Anyone who blocks traffic on a Friday night. There's a lot of things I could do to make this a better city, but I don't want such a job. Believe me, I could be a great mayor, a great governor, a great senator. But I don't want to be a politician. I really am happy doing what I do. Oh, I said it. God, please don't strike me. Don't strike me for saying I'm happy. Please, God. Please, God, spare me my happiness.
Savage.
With us right now is a great defender of everything that I believe in, and that's Reverend Jerry Falwell. Reverend, welcome to the Savage Nation. So happy to have you with us.
Well, thank you, good friend, for inviting me back.
I'd like to discuss the passion with you the message I have of what the crucifixion means, and it's not, to be honest with you, Reverend, I never really thought about what the crucifixion means, you know. But after the movie, I've been forced to ask myself, what does the crucifixion mean? And to me, it means if you crucify others, you crucify yourself. Does that hold any water with you, that analysis?
Certainly can be an interpretation, but the ultimate meaning of the cross is that God so loved the world, everyone in it, black, white, red, yellow, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Christ, to die on that cross, to pay our sin debt in full forever, and only perfect God, perfect man in one person could do that.
Well, here's the part I don't understand. How could Jesus have died for all man's sins for all time when such evil exists? Does that exonerate them? That exonerates a child rapist?
Because, first of all, he is the Son of God and God the Son, perfect man, perfect God. Theologians refer to him as the God-man. And because he is the God-man, he was able to take upon himself, only God could do that, in an efficacious way, the sins of everyone from Adam to the last person that shall ever be born upon this earth, past, present, future. And when he said, "It is finished," on the cross, it meant just that. I have paid the debt in full. I have satisfied my heavenly Father. My blood is shed. I've risen now from the dead, alive forevermore, and all who trust me have everlasting life.
But what I don't understand in that theological viewpoint is, does that wipe away other people's sins?
Well, I put it this way. The death of Christ is sufficient to save all men everywhere. It is efficient to save only those who believe and receive him.
So can a non-Christian be saved?
Not unless he trusts Christ. John 5:24, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. One must receive Christ. That's not anti-Semitic. It's not anti-Gentile. There are many Baptists who have not received Christ. They may be church members and have been baptized, but have never personally received the atonement, Christ's death, burial, resurrection for our sins as Lord and Savior. It's a person.
Wait a minute. What you said is only those who have received Christ can be received.
And that is the teaching of Scripture, that Christ died for all men.
But in that sense, Christianity would be very, very exclusive of all other religions, wouldn't it?
Well, it's inclusive in that God so loved everyone in the world and wants no one to go to hell. He sent his only begotten Son to die for us. It is exclusive in that those who reject him, who do not believe upon him, who do not receive him, are lost.
So then the Jews are lost, the Muslims are lost, the Buddhists are lost, and the Hindus are lost by that view.
Baptists, Catholics, Methodists, anyone. Church membership is not enough. Baptism is not enough. Good works is not enough. The Scripture said it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us.
Well, we'd have to disagree on that theological viewpoint, because I certainly can't exclude billions of people who are decent people, who have never hurt anybody, in fact, who have done good, who are not receiving Christ, who are still decent people.
Well, if it were good works, you'd be right. But unfortunately, not all of the Scripture says it this way, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. That is, man cannot do enough to satisfy a holy God. Christ came and in his own death, burial, resurrection, paid the sin debt in full forever for everyone. All we need do is believe on him, trust in him. But the fact is, he made it clear for him for all time that all we like sheep have gone astray. Romans 6:23. All we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah 53:6. But the Lord hath laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. We all are sinners, all need a new birth, all need an experience, a personal one with Christ, and that is what Calvary is, and that's what the empty tomb is.
Well, again, it's kind of exclusive of other religions, and we'll let it go with that. I don't mean to challenge your faith. I just don't thoroughly accept that viewpoint at all, because I'd have to say that all Jews are not evolved, all Muslims are not evolved, all Buddhists are not evolved, all Hindus and all fallen people, I mean all non-religious people. But I can't accept that, because I've seen religious people who are pure evil, and I've seen non-religious people who are pure good. I mean, just as a human being, Reverend, we can't say that everyone who's not a Christian is not a full person, can we?
Well, religion is not enough. There are many religious people who call themselves Christians or whatever, but religion is not enough. There's got to be a personal relationship with Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son, through the new birth and through believing in and accepting his death in our behalf, his resurrection on our behalf. It is a personal experience, the new birth it's called. And again, many Jews have received Christ. Many Protestants have received Christ. It has nothing to do with color or ethnic or religion.
What do you mean by many Jews have received Christ? You mean by converting to Christianity?
By receiving many Messianic Jews all over the world, thousands of them. And
but wait, what about the millions of Jews who don't accept Jesus? Are they lesser people? Is that what you're saying?
Protestants, and it is not that God has condemned anybody. God has offered through his Son salvation to everyone. We are the ones who reject him.
Well, let's leave it at that. I can't accept that viewpoint, because if I do, it means that everybody else is lesser than a received Christian. And that sounds very much like the limitations of Islam, who say that unless you follow my way, unless you follow the way of Allah, you know, you have to be converted. You see, this is the theological bind that kind of extremism puts us in, Reverend.
Well, that is the message of the Bible. It's the message of the four Gospels. It's the eternal message of Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6.
Well, we'll let it go at that, because I respect you as a man and as a religious man. I just don't accept that theological viewpoint, frankly. But I really do appreciate you taking the time, Reverend Falwell, for being with us on The Savage Nation. Well, that was quite an exciting conversation. It didn't go where the Reverend thought it would go, nor where I thought it would go. We're now hearing what? That Jews and Methodists and Muslims and Buddhists are not full people because they haven't accepted Christ? This is an amazing statement. It's unacceptable to me. You see, I don't see the world that way, and I've said that to you before. I may as well tell you how I see the world if you want to know one man's opinion. And don't think I'm holding myself up as some expert. But in my travels around the world, I have met good people and bad people in all faiths and in non-faiths. I've met good people of every race and bad people of every race. I've met good gay people, and I've met bad gay people. I've met good straight people and bad straight people. We know that, but I have to repeat that. But I also see the religion in this way, and I've written this up 30 years ago. I see all of the world's religions as equal, by the way, because I don't want to deny the other man's view of the world in order to have my own view of the world. I don't think it's necessary for me to say the other man isn't as complete as me because he doesn't practice my route to God. If you imagine a wheel, and if you imagine the hub of the wheel, and draw the circles for now in your head, I don't care if you're in a car, draw a big circle, that's the outside of the wheel, and draw a little circle, that's the inside of the wheel. The inside of the wheel is the hub, and that hub is God. That's the center of the wheel of the universe where God exists. And out of that hub, there arise spokes to hold the outside of the wheel, and each of those spokes is a religion. And there may be five or six principal religions on earth, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Islam. And to me, the five major religions of the world are the five spokes of the wheel of man. And these five spokes all lead mankind to the center, and that is God. Now, if you want to make me a prophet for saying that, then make me a prophet, because maybe the world needs someone to say that we can all be equal. We do not need to exclude the other man because he practices a different religion. That's how Michael Savage sees it.
Savage.
Anyway, you heard an epic interview between me and Jerry Falwell, and I'm sure he's in heaven, and I played it for you because it fit today. But, you know, what are you going to do with people like this? Here's a director named Tarantino who says he pays tribute to violent movies. He says, I go to the cinema to see blood and gore, says Tarantino, as he defends violent movies in the British Academy of Film Speech. Now, he's famous for the bloodshed and high body counts of his movies. He says extreme violence is the best way to control a viewer's emotions. And I ask you, will God punish him? The man behind Kill Bill, Pulp Fiction, and Reservoir Dogs? He said when he goes to the movies, he likes to see a man bleeding like a stuck pig. And I'm asking you, is he going to pay for this? Is this the kind of thing that America needs, a handgun in every child's hand? You know, I remember the 1980s where every poster, every starlet, every star, every mini star had a gun in their hand. Every poster appeared with a handgun in the hand of a starlet. And soon thereafter, we had tremendous violence amongst teenagers with guns. So who do you blame for it? You can blame Hollywood and you'd be right. But have they paid for it? Have they paid for it? Have they paid for their sins? I mean, if you say God punishes people for their sins, you know, judge not lest ye be judged, is another saying that Jesus had. Now, I'm in the judgment business, I got to tell you. You know, what is a talk show but a judge? Think about it. I mean, you think about it. If you're not judging things, you shouldn't be in this business. If you don't have the guts to get up here and say, here's how I see it, and I make judgment upon thee, then you can't be a talk show host. You could be a disc jockey, whatever, but you can't be a talk show host. So you're taking a big chance when you do it, because those who you are judging are going to judge you back, and they're going to throw the brickbats at you anytime they can. And rightly so. They should. They should. But you have to be careful. You have to be careful, because the judgment day will come anyway. You say it came, you know, comes in little spurts, as far as I'm concerned. Every headache is a part of the judgment day. Every arthritic ache is a judgment day. Every tooth that falls out is a judgment day. It's a little bit of what's waiting for us at the end of the road. I mean, we hobble along thinking there's going to be some great reward. The great reward is you wind up in a nursing home if you're lucky, as I said to you before, completely abandoned by your family, pushed by some illegal immigrant in front of a curtain, and you mutter to yourself you can't even be heard, as they beat you about the head and neck and steal the small amounts of money that your family leaves you for little things to buy. And that's what awaits you. Phil's laughing right now. I said, Phil, you ought to let them hear the laughter when it comes out. I have a very cynical view of it all. We take vitamins, we jog, we don't eat the fatty foods, and we think there's some great reward. You're going to die like grandpa, you know, a mom, pa kettle. 98, passing away quietly in the sleep as a slight snow falls outside and your grandchildren around you and they're singing. Sure, that's how it ends. Yep, that's how it ends for good people. Not how it ends. No. It's a slow, horrendous suffering for virtually everybody. Unless they get a nice heart attack or a quick stroke or hit by a bolt. This kind of stuff brings up the whole scene, you know, the whole thing. I had a dream again. That same repetitive nightmare I've been having for 15 years came back again last night. Again, I was stuck at Heathrow. Again, I couldn't get on a plane. Again, I had too much luggage, and I'm trying to find a big enough bag to put it all in. Over and over again. I had this dream for years before the UK ban. It was almost like a precognitive view of what was coming, that I was stuck somehow in England. It's amazing to me. But now I'm having it again. I hate traveling. I shouldn't travel anywhere, because every time I have to pack, I don't know about you, but every time I have to pack and select what to take with me, it's like dying. Think about what I'm saying. You live in a house. You have everything, your whole life possessions, your books, your manuscripts, the art that you have collected, mementos, photographs, you name it. The things that make home such a familiar, wonderful place for us. So when you go on a trip, you have to reduce it to a suitcase that some sub-moron can rifle through with rubber gloves on. You can go through your most intimate possessions, stick his fingers into your hand cream, and ask you it's unbelievable. The people that you wouldn't want to be on a subway car with have total power of life and death over you. So it makes you think, like, what are you going to take to the next world? Like, how about nothing? You know, God doesn't even want you to have an overnight bag when you go on that trip. No, sir. I don't care what you own. So can I just take an overnight? No overnight. Can I take my pillow? No. You know, nothing, not an overnight bag. You can't even take a pet with you. Nothing. As you came into the world, so you leave it. Look at the ancient Chinese. You see how they believed in the afterlife. They made the, they used to make their wives jump into the grave, and the Egyptians too. Lucky wife, huh? He dies, that knock off the wives and throw her into the ground too, and the servants and the bodyguards went in there too. Great job working for a rich guy in China thousands of years ago. So then they evolved, you know. They evolved to the point where a nice emperor appeared, and he actually made 40,000, I think it was 40,000 warriors out of ceramic. He didn't want to anymore throw them in the ground. He said, all right, I'm a nice emperor. You don't have to go into the ground with me, into the tomb. So he built a tomb with 40,000 ceramic figures of his bodyguards to take him into the next world. So, you know, this whole concept of the next world and this world and that world, oh, my God, it's so complicated. No wonder people reach for the pill or the bottle or the dope or the, you know, or the easy way out. No, no, really, you start getting into the theological, it's enough to send you down to, you know, to the bar, to the neighborhood bar, because people get frightened. And I'm the last one on earth to tell you what to expect. I don't know. I haven't been there yet. But one thing I will tell you is my mother, when I would ask her when I was a child, you know, Ma, what's it like to die? She would say with a smile, God rest her soul, she would say, she said, I don't know. She said, but no one's ever come back to complain. I thought that was a great, I stopped asking when she said that. God bless her. God, Ma, I hope you are in heaven. I hope there is a heaven and you're there. And I hope you're enjoying yourself. I hope you're cooking for God. But she would say it to me as a little boy. I, you know, and it's like, I pass it on to you. Make believe you're my family. Many young people listen to me because there are no longer extended families in the country. There are no uncles like me or even fathers like me, truthfully, in that regard. So you don't know how to answer that question? Tell your child when he asks, Mom, what is, you know, what is it like? What is death like? Or what is blah, blah, blah. Say to him with a smile so your child doesn't feel your anxiety. We know you're frightened inside over the question. Say, I don't know what it's like, but no one's ever come back to complain. Take it from my mom, Mrs. Mama Savage. She said it to me. I hope she was right. God, did she suffer in the end? Oh, God, why did she suffer? She didn't suffer enough in this life. They had to give her a little reward at the end, a little suffering at the end, to go along with the suffering of her whole life. They had to throw a little more at her. Yeah, oh, yeah. So you think you want to get me going on my cynicism? I've been cynical since I'm seven. But it doesn't stop me from getting up every morning and doing a few push-ups, doing a little workout for about a time. I've reduced it to the bare minimum now. I reduced the workout to an absolute bare minimum. What is the minimum a man needs in order to work out to not become complete and total, you know, no muscle tone? And what is the bare minimum he needs to do in order to not drop dead of this, that, and the other thing? It's not a bare, it's called, you know, it's like I approach it from that point of view because there's only so much I'm willing to do. At a certain point, what are you going to do? I want to look like Mr. Abs at 104 to get run over in Coney Island. He was the strongest man in New York, a boxer in the 1920s. He fought in World War II. He won all the medals. And the strong man of Coney Island kept himself fit, was a vegetarian. And the other day, he's walking in Brooklyn, crosses the street, and gets run over and killed. So what is that all about? 5'4", tough as nails. He must have been 40. When he fought in World War II. That's the one thing I don't understand. He says he won all those, they say he won all those medals in the Pacific. But if he was born, and he's 104 months, he was like 40 when he fought in the Pacific. It's the one part of it I don't understand. But the point of the story is, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow may never come. Or let's put it to you another way. Enjoy yourself, for tomorrow may never come. Or let's put it to you another way. God wants you to have a good time. Let's put it to you that way. He didn't put you here to suffer. Try to have a good time tonight, would you? This is the Savage Nation. One more big hour, and then it's Powhana time right here on your local affiliate.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language. Adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen up. Okay, here are the top stories today in the media are amazing. But if you go to michaelsavage.com, you'll find my top stories. Here are my top 10. London's Daily Telegraph put out its list of America's most influential liberals and its most influential conservatives in the U.S. for a second straight year. The newspaper moved Michael Savage up 16 spots to number 47 this year. Now, what's interesting is that my show, and of course my books, have moved me up. The Telegraph pace made me at number 47 of the most important conservatives in America. And on this list, I beat out Lou Dobbs at 79, Ann Coulter at 74, and Bill O'Reilly is only number 85. With 10 million listeners, the Berkeley PhD is the third most listened to conservative talk show host in the U.S., and I have written more than 25 books, including Banned in Britain, Beating the Liberal Blacklist, available only on michaelsavage.com. I shot to attention in Britain last year when Jackie Smith, then Home Secretary, included my name on a list of 16 people who would be barred from entering the U.K. on the grounds that they were considered to be engaging in unacceptable behavior by seeking to provoke others to serious criminal acts. Now, when speech becomes behavior, we are living not in 1984 but in the ex-Soviet Union. They say that Savage, who had no plans to visit Britain, was at first bemused and then furious, and then Savage took legal action. He said, to link me up with skinheads who are killing people in Russia, to put me in league with Hamas murderers who kill people on buses, is defamation. He said, what does that say about the government of England? It says more about them than it says about me. He told Smith, quote, shame on you for violating the laws of your own land. Shame on you for taking the land of the Magna Carta and turning it into a sort of mini North Korea. But there's more to the story than that, unfortunately, which is that my own government, my own State Department, has refused to lift a finger to defend me. That gives you some idea about the fairness of the Obama administration. They may not like my politics, but they have an obligation to defend me, and they're not doing it. Incidentally, I have to go into this for a minute. If you read my latest book, Banned in Britain, there is official correspondence from England that we got under the Freedom of Information Act, which reveals a decision that was made to do this to me, to slander me, to use me, to put my name on a list to, quote, provide balance in order to make sure that the list was not dominated by Muslim extremists. A draft recommendation marked restricted says, we'll want to ensure that the names disclosed reflect the broad range of cases and are not all Islamic extremists. Can you believe this? Well, that's the story. That's the story. And what's sad is there's complicity by other British agencies all the way up to Prime Minister Gordon Brown. That shows you what liberalism is. Michael Savage, by the way, is the author of more than 20 books. But the big news is I was placed on the list now, a good list, by a British newspaper, and they moved me up 16 points, 16 up to number 47, beating Lou Dobbs, 79, Ann Coulter, 74, and Bill O'Reilly at 85. There are other stories. Obama's TSA pick attacks Christians and now Jews at and the French. You won't believe this. Did you hear about this? The man who was nominated to lead the federal agency in charge of airport security claimed in 2008 that America is subject to attacks because of our alliances with France and Israel. It wasn't enough that this child that Obama wants to appoint to the TSA, who said that Christians and anti-abortion activists are the enemy instead of the Islamo-fascists. Now the Jews in Israel are the enemy. Is this man anti-Semitic? I don't know. Is he anti-Christian? I don't know. Well, that's not all. This man says that global warming is just as important as terrorism. This is the man, this dangerous man, who they want to make the head of the TSA? This is the last person we want to be responsible for making sure terrorists don't get on airplanes. Don't let Obama appoint this man. You think that's bad, huh? Here's another one on michaelsavage.com. Ex-FBI agent now at the ACLU fronts for an Arab group against the terror list. That's right. Mike German said using the terrorist screening database of 400,000 plus names to screen airline passengers was not realistic. Here's another example of an enemy within. A man who says it's not practical to stop terrorism? Who said that we can't profile? Who said that white supremacists are the real enemy? This is total insanity. This man is the product of a deranged mind, in my opinion. Yet we allow a member of a traitorous organization such as the ACLU to spew this garbage on the airwaves as if it were fact? Our media is polluted. Our government is polluted. We have to clean out this toxic liberalism if this nation is to survive. If you listen to this man, you can tell why the FBI is unable to do his job and why he was then recruited for the ACLU. It's sickening that men like him are now responsible for eating away at our country from the inside and turning it over to the terrorists. Here's another liberalism as a mental disorder story from the local newspaper on michaelsavage.com. Libs close power plant in San Francisco with no idea where to get more energy. They're closing a power plant. And guess where they're going to get the energy from? From a suburban power plant. Isn't that typically liberal of you? From Russia comes this, not with love, but it says, the swine flu pandemic seems to be the biggest pharmaceutical fraud of the century. From the AP, 9 Vermont state candidates favor secession. Could you believe this? And here's a really important one on my website. You have to read it by Naomi Emery. She says, Obama's education is of little use to his presidency. She says that people in newsrooms all over the country decided that someone who talked the way they did was the cure for what ailed the country, and now they're stunned to find out it is not, that his training and his education is of little use. Well, I say it's been a detriment. His education has hurt us. The libs who taught him in college have hurt America more than any foreign enemy could have. Finally, from the Houston Chronicle, American murder toll in Mexico climbs. This is shocking. Preliminary stats and other sources show 09 is by far the deadliest year for U.S. citizens in Mexico. Taking a trip to Mexico, keep this in mind. This is what we let in when we keep the borders open. MichaelSavage.com is the place for you to get these and other stories right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
China has been growing and growing, not just on an economic front, but militarily as well, especially the Chinese Navy. Here to discuss the expanding presence of the Chinese Navy is Dean Cheng from the Heritage Foundation. Dean, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thank you very much for having me on today. It's a great pleasure to be able to speak to the Savage Nation.
Well, what's your opinion of the Chinese military buildup on the high seas?
As we're talking here about the Chinese military and their expanding presence, one of the things I want to note here first is that this is not your father's People's Liberation Army. The old image of massive human wave attacks, millions and millions of poorly trained peasants with AK-47s, that's not the Chinese military that China is fielding today. Instead, you are looking at a military that is putting out a more and more sophisticated set of capabilities. It is equipped with Su-27 fighter planes, which are some of the most modern in the Russian inventory that they've purchased. They've got advanced, very silent submarines. They've got destroyers and cruisers out there now that are on a par, roughly, with U.S. equipment. And as important, you are looking at a Chinese military that is also training and thinking about warfare in the modern age. So it's not just taking an old military and giving it fancy new equipment. You're looking at a military that is trying to figure out how it can best exploit those capabilities. And we saw another example of that just yesterday when the Chinese announced that they had successfully shot down a missile with a missile. And that's the kind of capability that we associate with the Patriot surface-to-air missile batteries that are defending places like Israel. So we're looking at a much more sophisticated capability. And alongside better forces that are still very large in number, now we're looking at the Chinese also trying to spread themselves out into the rest of the world. So this is why I wrote my piece, which is talking about how the Chinese are now talking about maybe setting up bases off of Africa. Now, the reason why this is important is because the Chinese are participating in the anti-piracy patrols off of Somalia. They've had two destroyers out there along with a replenishment vessel coming up to close to a year, and this is their fourth rotation. So you're looking at a Chinese military that's also learning how to operate far from its own shores, keeping its people supplied, and keeping all of the difficult parts of training and morale and all those things that we've been doing for pretty much since the Second World War, they're steadily learning how to do that as well.
How rapidly and aggressively have the Chinese been building up their Navy?
The question you're asking about how rapidly and how aggressively has the Chinese Navy been growing is a very important one because it touches on several things. The Chinese Navy, for the longest time, was the world's largest Navy, but like their military, it was equipped with a lot of basically odds and ends. And today, we see a relatively smaller Navy as they get rid of a lot of old ships. But the new ships that are coming online, they're equipped with modern radars, they're equipped with modern anti-ship missiles, anti-ship cruise missiles. So we're looking at a steady increase in capability, even if the numbers are staying relatively stable. And it's not just buying stuff from the Russians, they're building a lot of it themselves. So they now have several submarine classes that they're building on their own that are very silent and very hard to find. We're also looking at the possibility of a Chinese aircraft carrier. Now, when that's going to happen isn't quite clear, but the Chinese are talking about it more and more. And that's going to be a pretty significant event when the Chinese Navy floats its first full-blown flat top. At the same time, you're seeing them worried about our aircraft carriers. And so things like anti-ship ballistic missiles, which would come basically out of the sky at very, very high speeds, which would be very hard to defend against, is something that they're developing as a counter to our aircraft carrier battle group.
Well, are we building up to a new Cold War?
The Chinese are not the Soviets. They are our trading partner, and they very much want to be part of the global system, something the Soviets did not want to be. They enjoy the benefits of international trade. Their standard of living is improving in part because of their exports and because of their ability to import higher quality goods. So they're not the Soviets, but at the same time, they're not our friends. And that means that we have to keep an eye on them, particularly because, of course, the United States is a maritime power, and the oceans are a vital part of our national security and our national economic well-being. With the Chinese, one of the things that this expanding naval capability is doing is it's making them more of a player with all of their neighbors. So the Japanese are watching this with grave concern. The Indians are watching this with grave concern. And, of course, the Taiwanese, who are only 100 miles off their shores, are very worried about the Chinese naval buildup. For the United States, one of the other things that this brings to mind is the growing number of encounters we've had where the Chinese have become, in fact, more physically aggressive towards us. A couple of incidents recently involving the USNS Impeccable and the USNS Victorious, which are ships that do a lot of oceanographic research that helps find submarines. The Chinese basically acted in an unsafe manner around them, nearly rammed them, and made the case that we have no business being off their shores. So as their Navy expands, they are getting more aggressive.
In your opinion, how important is it to maintain our edge in having the strongest Navy?
You know, in 1941, when we were probably the most powerful Navy out there, there were tankers and merchant ships that were going down off of America's shores. And that was partly because of our own failings. We failed to convoy. We failed to turn the lights out in places like Miami and New York. But as a result, we nearly lost control of the seas. And Churchill said that no period made him as nervous as during the period of 1942-43 when the lifeline to Britain nearly got cut. So if we want to be able to exert influence around the world, if we want to support democracy and freedom, if we want to be able to bring the oil home to keep our houses warm and our factories running, we need to be able to control the seas. The thing here is that for the rest of the world, American control of the seas is benign. We don't charge taxes to other countries whose tankers benefit from our protection. We're not charging people when we keep the Straits of Hormuz open. So our control of the seas is benign. Question is whether other countries if they were to be able to control the seas, would act quite as benignly. I think that history doesn't give a good answer to that.
Dean Cheng, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you again for having me on, Michael. I appreciate it and look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Remember I told you in Florida I was reading about Martha Gellhorn, one of Hemingway's wives, and I was enjoying it. But the last 20 pages, 30 pages, when she's going downhill, I found out she committed suicide. I didn't want to read anymore. She was like a classic lib. You know, she was into everything. Hated America, was an expat, didn't believe in God, and ended a life with euthanasia. So what could be better for a liberal to glorify her? Well, he killed himself too, Hemingway. He put a shotgun to the head. Horrible. Why do that? You know, suicide is the greatest crime you can commit according to the Bible. That's right. Suicide is the worst crime you can commit because you're committing murder against God's possession. You don't own you. God created you. You're taking his property by committing suicide. If I have to put it in a simplistic way, you're cheating God, you're cheating yourself, but more than that, you're putting a curse upon your family forever. Suicide is something that is never, ever forgotten in the collective memory of a family. Don't do it. Don't fall into that liberal trap that it's perfectly fine for you to end your life. The whole West is like on the verge of committing suicide, as our wonderful guests are trying to take over the country. The weaklings are dying off.
Savage.
The healthcare debate has not gone away, even though the Dems are trying to pass it without any, exposure, transparency. They don't want anyone to know what they're doing. Well, keeping an eye on this for us is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks again, Michael. It's always good to be back with the Savage Nation here, getting some health and healing updates that are not heard anywhere else in the media. And, of course, these are becoming all the more important as we watch what's happening in Washington, D.C. with the control of the Democratic Party that has basically thrown the Constitution out. It doesn't exist anymore. Absolutely not. We hear Obama calling, as we talked about, and you've talked about this already, the C-SPAN proclamations, right? He had the C-SPAN proclamations, and we heard audio at 8 different times, he said, on the campaign trail. We're going to have health care reform. We're going to have everybody see it. We're going to put it on C-SPAN, C-SPAN, C-SPAN. And, of course, if they got an hour to an hour and a half out, that was big news. They really don't want this to be scrutinized by the American public. That is clear. Because if we saw it, we would all be nauseous and throwing up, likely. And, of course, we would not have any drug that would help us in that case. We would have to look toward natural medicine that would be then banned by this health care reform bill, which is basically, as we've covered, a mandate, an insurance mandate. You have to buy insurance. And, of course, if there is any private insurance left, it is only making available through those plans that which is approved by the federal government. How American is that? The idea that only that which is approved through 10 miles square swampland, Capitol Hill, the executive branch, that's not an American ideal that we need politicians that can't take care of themselves to dictate to us what we can and cannot do regarding our health and healing. But of course, that's become the norm in America. It is not only a Democratic thing. I mean, this happened under Republican administrations.
True.
And this monopoly system is not a free market. And so neither party is correct when they say the current system is a free market, right? The Democrats, the leftists keep claiming that it's freedom, it's the free market, that we can't possibly have, it's cruel, it's unusual. No, what's cruel and unusual is forcing those that have wisened up to this federal game and have said no to it, they don't want any part of this system, to force them into it with this net that Pelosi wants to throw over everybody and then, of course, imprison or fine them should they not wish to participate. This is not an American ideal at all. You want to help your neighbor? Sure, fine. But don't do it at the point of a gun. Don't thieve from your neighbor and then use that money to enrich global corporations with no allegiance to any nation or state. And I must reiterate here, Michael, that the system that we're utilizing and that is going to be basically thrown 100% into the executive branch to dictate to our lives, if we have lives left, if they're not rationed out of existence, this pharmaceutical way of not living, but decaying and dying. And I can't, how can I say this any more clear, but then go to the Journal of the American Medical Association, year 2000, Barbara Starfield report. It's not really ever been challenged. There's nothing to challenge in it. They acknowledge 106 to 225,000 deaths a year due to things approved by government, medicines approved by government. Why should we be looking to the executive branch, which has already screwed this up, whether it be Republican or Democrat administrations? It made no difference. They've already screwed it up and institutionalized a system of death. How do you explain this?
Because it seems neither party is on our side.
Well, the only way I can see this is that we've just abdicated, just like Congress abdicates its responsibility according to the Constitution to do what is limited only to that which is in the Constitution, the American people, by and large, have given up on their ability to care for themselves. They've kind of thrown their responsibility to the wind and said, oh, let's see what government expert can care for me better than I can. Well, they have a lab coat, they got a stethoscope, they have a degree. They're licensed. Oh, yes, they got a license. As if a license magically bestows ability on somebody. I mean, I'd rather see somebody board certified by a private organization that this is what they do. This is what they're skilled at. This is what they're certified in. Fine. I don't need the government to tell me whether that's good or bad. I can figure that out. But Americans have given up on that ability to discriminate. And this is positive. This is rightful discrimination. The way you want to go in your life, as long as you violate no one other's rights to life, liberty, or property, for instance, that which the government is violating on a daily basis, and will do so to such an extreme extent with this so-called health care insurance scheme reform legislation, whether they hash it out between the Senate and the House. And by the way, you hear Nancy Pelosi on this?
Well, play the clip to remind us.
We think that we have the fairest approach in our bill. I always say when it comes to tax policy around here, it's like a mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest of them all? The Senate thinks theirs is fair. We think ours is. We'll see which mirror cracks. We'll proceed in a way that is fair to the American people. Thank you.
Are you kidding?
She's talking about some magic mirror on the wall, which is crumbling before all of our eyes, whether they're looking into it or not, that really will institutionalize, as I said, this form of medicine. That, again, nowhere in the Constitution, nowhere in our Declaration of Independence was there ever a thought form of our founding fathers that would say, we will need a strong centralized government to dictate to every American how to care for their health, what kind of doctor to see, when to see them, what kind of medicaments we can inject into the children that don't belong to you anymore. They belong to the federal government, de facto to the state government. They, you know, child protection services come in. You don't want to drug your child with Ritalin? Yeah, they'll call the Child Protective Service. I think you're being bad parents. Medical neglect, they'll call that. And we've got now a cult-like worship of that system in government. I mean, and I would question it on many scientific grounds, much less this idea that you should blindly accept that which the federal government decrees. This is the form of medicine everybody should take. And we saw how much they screwed up in 2009, the swine flu scam of 2009. Billions of dollars were wasted of taxpayer funds, or Ben Bernanke just printed it up out of thin air. And then they bought all of these H1N1 vaccines, rushed into production, and at least half of them, maybe more, never used. You go to the corner drugstore, it used to be $25, and it went to $20, now it's $10. Now, here, buy some aspirin, free shots. We're going to see H1N1 shots on Craigslist. Come here, get a used TV, we'll get you some free H1N1 shots. People can't give this stuff away. And what do? Will they donate it or sell it for pennies on the dollar to third world countries? Will they store it in stockades somewhere to bring out in a few years when Julie Gerbert Inc., now head of Merck Vaccines, you heard about that? The former head of the CDC, the gifts she's given to Merck over that time, now the revolving door swung the other way. She's heading a $5 billion division of Merck Vaccinations, of course. The Gardasil shot for the so-called HPV, human papillomavirus. More reports from around the world of children, little girls being injured and even killed by this vaccination. Where is the outrage? Where is the outrage? They want to mandate this and another, you know. And if we get this mandated health insurance reform, which eventually will wipe out whatever's left of the private sector, there is not going to be a provision. Now, it may not be next year or the next, but a few years down the road, your kids are going to have to deal with this. That the next phony H1N1 or H5N1 pandemic coming out, the next Chicken Little, whoever's heading the CDC screams, flu! Everybody's going to get their shot. Will there be ability of intelligent, educated Americans to assess the dangers, the risk, and say, shot, potential flu, no, I think I would rather risk the flu. Will there be an ability? No, because you're now in an institution. You're in a total institution run by who? The executive branch. The executive branch of the federal government. Separation of powers? What's that?
That's crazy. Sorry, crazy.
No more separation of powers. We threw it all. The Democrats threw it all into the executive branch because they had their boy. They had Obama. They didn't think about, wow, there would be a backlash. Obama's gone now. Who's in there from the Republican side? Will they do what the Democrats and the leftists like? No. No, it's not going to be the same. But as we've seen throughout history, the establishment Democrats, the establishment Republicans have all found ways to grow the government, to adopt as their religion medical collectivism. You're all the same. You all get treated the same. And if we elect through these numbers that we're crunching here, it's not worth it for you to get the procedure. Sorry, Grandpa. Sorry, Grandma. That's the inevitable result. It already occurs in socialized systems throughout the world. That's not a mystery. Not a mystery at all. And so where do we go when we look at this system about to be under the dark of night here? Not the Obama C-SPAN, that everybody can see it. This idea that they should throw everything in to the executive branch and let it run our lives to this way. This is so un-American. It's despotic, and as Benjamin Rush signed her the Declaration of Independence, yeah, he was a medical doctor, he was a physician, he said, there's no place for it in a true republic. Do we have that anymore? Will we have that anymore?
We would if America would wake up.
Michael, certainly we have an opportunity to make some changes, perhaps to the ballot box, but by and large we've seen throughout the years as well, establishment Republicans, establishment Democrats handpicked the candidates, funded those candidates, those that wanted third parties, or maybe even to come up through the existing structures, were shut out of this, so that even if you thought you had a choice, you didn't have a choice. Those were handpicked to basically play the party line. And I think we've seen the growth of this Tea Party movement as evidence of the disgust of millions of Americans. Not that they're endorsing Republicans outright, but that they're looking more toward these conservative concepts. The Constitution maybe does play an important role in the existence of these United States, much less its future. And perhaps we could get candidates back to that, to adopt, embrace, endorse, and defend and protect as their oath demands. The drugging of America through Pelosi care, Obamacare, Harry Reid care, however you want to coin it, call it, is something that will be the death knell to the republic. If we have it, if we're going to get it back, it's going to be through people that understand what made this country great. And by and large, it wasn't its government, it's the people. Free to move about the cabin, not the cage trapped and basically chained to a government bureaucrat who will dictate everything you can and can't do for your children or yourself when you want to care for your health, when you want to go for healing. And there's a reason we had a separation of powers. We weren't supposed to throw everything in the executive branch, and this is what we're about to do. It will be a disaster. All right, as we wrap up this update this week, Michael, ask your candidates this year, it's the election year, what do they believe that we should defend the Constitution? What does that mean to them? Ask them if they believe the FDA is actually protecting the people from dangerous drugs or protecting the drug industry from the people. If you want to learn more about this and other things I've been covering with you on the Savage Nation here, go to my blog at robertscottbell.blogspot.com or Google my name. You'll see it there. Thanks again.
Thanks for the report, Robert.
Savage.
Errol Suthers, Obama's TSA nominee, is at it again. You must listen to his anti-Semitic statements about terrorism. Now remember, this is the man, Errol Suthers, that Obama wants to make the head of the TSA. This is the same man who says that climate change trumps terrorism. You hear this?
It should be high on our list of priorities because of, speaking globally, the threat that exists. Due to connectivity that we have with countries such as Israel, France, countries that are seen by groups by Al-Qaeda as being infidels or anti-Islamic. By the true nature of our alliance with them means that we are subject to being attacked as well. I do think, however, it deserves to perhaps have some parity with global warming, with education, with the economy.
And did you hear that last statement? Global warming as important as terrorism? But wait, Obama's TSA nominee goes on.
First, terror is a strategy, and it's difficult at best, academically speaking, to have a war against a strategy. Second, to suggest a war suggests that there's a matrix for success. So if the war on terror means that we're going to mitigate terrorism from ever happening again, we will never win that war. Much like, unfortunately, the war on drugs. The war on drugs has been around for as long as I'm alive, and narcotics trafficking is alive and well and prospering. So I would like to say that we have an effort here to contain terrorism, to reduce the risk of terrorism. And I think that's what you'll find Homeland Security, national security agencies are engaged in, which is reducing that risk, making the environment hostile for them to operate in order to be successful.
My God, and here's the man from the ACLU who used to be an FBI agent, Michael German.
How do we communicate better American values and so forth in this country, but also around the globe? Well, if your policy is inherently discriminatory, unfortunately, that is the message that is being imparted.
And here's what this guy says the main threat is.
Terrorists come in all shapes and sizes, all nationalities, all different political and religious causes. You know, if you look around the country, there have been any number of white supremacist and neo-Nazi sort of activities. A dirty bomb was found in Bangor, Maine, December of last year. A chemical weapon was found in Noonday, Texas in 2004. Neither one of those events were covered very much because they were white supremacists and right-wing militias rather than Muslim extremists.
Well, with that kind of thinking about security, America's doomed.
Of course, there are Irish terrorists. There are Puerto Rican nationalist terrorists. There are South American drug courier terrorists. You know, it's simply an ineffective way. You know, it's unconstitutional, it's ineffective, and it's actually counterproductive.
Uh-uh.
The alternative is doing investigations based on facts that establish a reasonable belief that somebody might be doing something wrong. And there were a number of facts out there that could have been followed up on if the law enforcement and intelligence agencies had resources for that type of investigative activity. Instead, we're pouring all our resources into these bloated watch lists.
Oh, schmuck.
One of the triggers for terrorists is experiencing racism. So obviously, developing racist counterterrorism policies is quite counterproductive.
God help America, we have to get rid of the enemies within our own government. Crotch bomber, CIA blow up, you name it, one after the other, one intelligence failure after another, and Obama. He's doing a fine job. Look, I criticized George Bush repeatedly. I used to do Where's Waldo, and Bush was no good on things. And I have every right as a commentator to comment. Of course it has no meaning to you, because I'm not a valid person in the media. That would be somebody without a pair of you-know-what underneath their tie. No, the people valid in the media are guys like Brett Hume or like Dan Rather. He was a valid person. Katie Couric, there's another valid person in the media. Roger Mudd. I liked Roger Mudd. When I was a kid, I didn't like Walter Cronkite. I suspected there was something wrong with him. I knew years later we found out that the guy was a stone-hearted anti-American left-wing fanatic. But okay, as a kid you don't know. You're eating lamb chops, French fries, what do you know on a tray? Uncle Walter, some uncle. Uncle Joseph Stalin. Roger Mudd I liked. Him they got rid of right away because he was too good. Sober. I like sober. I don't like smiling talk show. I don't like smilers. Like Regis Philbin, false teeth, false hair, false face, false eyelashes, in my opinion. Like Regis Philbin is an example of what the media is today, that type. Like there's something rickety about them, you know? Well, why do you get so distracted? What's going on in the world? It can drive you crazy. The whole country's falling apart from the top to the bottom. It's collapsing. And the Hawaiian holiday, he comes back, and right away he's working around the clock now. Now that he's solved the banking crisis, the General Motors crisis, the intelligence crisis, let's see, the global warming crisis. He's working around the clock to legalize 30 million illegal aliens so the country can become like Mexico. That's just what you're looking forward to. You've always wanted to live in Mexico, right? Well, get ready for a lawless nation if that happens, because that's what they're going to bring here. Obama's running national security correctly? Well, correct me if I'm mistaken, but seven CIA men are under the ground right now because he's running it so well. Leon Panetta is the head of the CIA. The man was unqualified and incompetent from the beginning. They're covering their own tracks, that's all. And Obama has the nerve to say the system has failed. He is the system. He's no longer a communist community organizer with a staple gun. Austin, Texas. Rick, go ahead, your opinion. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage. Hey, President Obama is running our national security like his two little girls when they get into an argument. Today he said that he will not tolerate finger pointing. Well, how the hell are we going to fix the problem if we don't know where to point our fingers?
Yeah, what do you mean no finger pointing? Either there's an incompetent moron working for him called Janet Reno. Sorry. They changed. I'm sorry. What's the new one's name? Janet Napolitano. Why do I mix them up? Why do I mix up Janet Reno with Janet Napolitano? Why is she... What do you mean no finger pointing? Who does the buck stop with? Me?
Savage.